Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to In the Know with Mo. This is your host, Maureen Forte. Tonight, I have my special guest, Ms. Ruby Shuttlesworth-Bester, on again this evening, this week. And this week, tonight, is the anniversary of the 16th Street anniversary, which is really not a celebration, but it's the anniversary of the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama. As you know, the Birmingham, Alabama bombing was the result of four young ladies being killed. And today is when I found that there were five young ladies, but one of them did survive. The 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama was bombed on Sunday, 50 years ago, September 15th, 1963, as an act racially motivated terrorism. The explosion at the African-American church, which killed the four girls, marked a turning point in the United States' 1960s civil rights movement and contributed to the support for the passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, many wanted to know what was so significant of the 16th Street Baptist Church. Well, that was the church that was used as a meeting place for the civil rights leaders such as Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Ralph David Abernathy, and Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth. And that's why tonight I have live on the line one of his children, his second daughter, Ruby Shuttlesworth Bester. Welcome to the Know with Mo.
Hello, how are you?
Just fine. Thank you for taking time to come and speak on this historical evening. This whole August and September, and basically every day is a historical day because it's up to us, as I had mentioned before, to keep our history alive.
Exactly.
And so on this anniversary of bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, now, today they did make big references to Reverend Fred, your dad, on the bombing. And I just want you to be able to talk about the experiences as one of the children, as children of a civil rights fighter. You know, people just think that the lives of children was just all fun and games, but you were always under the watchful eye.
Yes, we, from the time that Daddy, well, really from the time that our house was bombed, Christmas night, 1956, that's when we started having guards. The gentlemen, they built a home for us across the street. My mother and father stayed in A.G. Gaston's hotel while they were building the home, and we stayed with our auntie in Ensley, Mrs. Morris. And when we moved to the new house, they had already built a guardhouse in the back. I was there this summer on a tour with some young people, and the only thing that's standing now is the actual concrete that it was on. The home next to the new home, Mr. Revis' house, was also a guardhouse. And people were very diligent in protecting us because after the bombing in 56, it was just a lot of atrocious things going on, and they protected us so well. They really took care of us, and they came with their guns and they sat, but of course when the police came, the guns were put up. But God and those guards kept us alive. And on the Monday night mass meetings, every Monday night, the police chief would send two detectives to the meeting. On one such occasion, one of the detectives had a new suit, and Reverend Billups just kind of touched the lapel and said, "Oh, that's such a nice suit." And the next day he was found beaten up with KKK marked on his chest. But they were always, they were ever present, I should say. But the day today is very historic because people need to realize that these four little girls went to church to learn. And their subject was about forgiveness. Love means that you have to forgive. That was part of their Sunday school lesson. But they weren't the only two young people killed that day. Another young man, two other young people were killed, a younger person and then a teenager on that same day. There were two young men that were also killed. And the city of Birmingham recognized them August 13th. But the sacrifice meant was made. And if nothing else, it made Americans realize that, you know, what we're doing is what they were doing to the people was just savage. And people just came to themselves, and more people wanted to do more. 63 is being celebrated all this year in Birmingham, Alabama. They're celebrating the 50th anniversary of a really trying year. And I don't know if I mentioned you, in April, Harry Belafonte celebrated the women of Birmingham. My mother was celebrated along with Mrs. Yvonne Turner and some other people. And our cousin, Julia Raines, was celebrated, Laverne Revis, people that were there and they worked. But, you know, as we celebrate the past, we cannot forget it. We are getting so complacent that we are forgetting that things happen for a reason. And one of the things we don't want to do, even though we say this is 50 years later, how much further have we come? And exactly. We really haven't come that much further because we still have children not being educated to their fullest. Yeah. We have people, we have poverty in our country within these four boundaries that binds the United States. There are hungry people, and there's something wrong with that picture. And we need to do more. We have a lot of think tanks, but we need to put something in line where people can get help if they need help. And we've not come that way. We've not put into place organizations that will serve to lift people, to make them feel worthy. And that's the task of our young people and our young adults and even our senior citizens. We need to talk about what happened so we can get together on a better path. I'm glad that they honored the girls today. There are so many unsung heroes. Those children did not have a chance at life, but their death woke up a lot of people. And things are getting better, but they are not where they should be.
Well, you know what you mentioned about poverty, and we have my board members here for National Action Network. We have board meetings and forums, and we discuss poverty. Poverty is the root of the violence here in Chicago. In fact, it's probably the root of the violence across the nation because the violence is just out of control. It's like a tree. It starts with the root, and the root of the tree here is poverty. Until we can find some answers to the poverty and fight the exclusion with inclusion, the better off we're going to be. We have so many of our so-called leaders who are on the ego, they're edging God out. That's what I think ego stands for. And not trying to prepare the younger generation to pass the baton on because it's all about me, 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 and not we. You know, so that's a big problem, too. Because 50 years later, some changes have been made, but we're still now fighting and killing each other. where in the past the KKK did it, but now the KKK said, well, you're doing a good job killing yourselves.
Exactly, exactly. We have failed to teach our history to our young people. They don't have a sense of pride in what we endured, had to endure. Subject yourself to a greater cost. You know you're going to go to jail and you're going to be in there and you can't talk back, you can't do this, but you had to, and the purpose was nonviolence. You can't beat on a man that's not sneering and that. We give, our young people now, give police a reason to say something, and I don't know where that came from, because when I was raised, there were just certain things, manners of behavior that you had to do in the South. I mean, we never talked back. Our parents were the main people that we looked up to, and we respected all adults. We used yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. And we just had a different way of acting, and somehow we have not transferred that one big word, manners, or just basically respect, respecting yourself and others, and we need to catch back up on that. I like ego, edging God out. And I think that's really what has happened. I've never heard that phrase, but, you know, the Lord, without the Lord, we would not have, I like your beginning song, we've come this far by faith.
Okay. Right.
And they had the faith to believe that we can do this thing. Dr. King is said to have modeled some of his things after Gandhi, but I have found in working with a lot of people, and being Daddy's daughter, I've met a lot of wonderful people, and they take whatever is good and apply it to their situation. And love, unconditional love, and nonviolence is why the movement was so successful. We did not fight back. Even when the Black Panthers came later on, they came back. They realized it was futile. I mean, just we were outnumbered, number one. And you have to come to yourself. You know, God created all of us, and we all will bleed blood red, red blood rather, if we cut. But for some reason, the eyes want to be bigger, and they want to put people down, and it's just not right. You wonder why, if people remembered their Sunday school lessons, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. The four little girls was a sacrifice, and Emmett Till. All of these things lead us to realize that we are not barbarians. We are people here together, bound under a constitution. And that's why I say to young lawyers, study constitutional law so you can see what your rights are having been born in this country. We need to do more to help each other. And the thing of poverty is just ridiculous. That people, children should not go to school hungry. They should not go to bed hungry. There's something that we can do, but nobody's come up with it. When I was department head at my school, we used to take trips, and we went to this vending company, ARA, I forget what it was, but at night they emptied the sandwiches and threw them away. I said, can't you give them to the people that are hungry? And they said, no, we'll be sued. You know, there should be something in between so that people can be fed.
I see the same thing here at the school. The school systems here, they do the same thing. The kids don't eat their lunch, or they don't want it, they get it, they leave it, and they throw so much food away, so much milk away. And the kids can't take it home. Some of the kids don't get a chance to eat another meal. And so you figure, oh, don't you have to alcohol? Oh, no, they can't take anything out the building, nothing. You know,
I don't understand it.
It's just a waste. We're a society of waste, and people are starving every day, and we're throwing away, and that's food that could be put to the side and saved for next day or later on meal.
Mm-hmm. We need to think on our way. I don't know. Education is so. When I taught, and I've been retired 11 years now. We had to know the multiplication tables. They accept calculators now. But I said, what if the sun is not shining? You don't have soul and you have to actually think. We need to give children more than one way to do things so that if the electricity's off, if you left your slide rule at home, you can still calculate. You know, we need to get more serious about what we are doing. Our generation, I think, gave more to their children than what they needed. They needed discipline. They needed love. And they needed guidance. But a lot of times people are so busy trying to make it. And that's why we need to do better in our laws that will say that if you are this, if you have this amount of money, you can live in this community and go to a quality school. But if you don't, then you have to be in this community and not have the same advantages. There's something wrong with that picture.
Right, you know, we should
have everything on a level beginning. You know, children should start off with a good education. Make them learn to love learning. And so they will be lifelong learners. Those little girls didn't have a chance, but their lives gave us a chance to do more. Like I say, all this year, Birmingham is celebrating the 50th anniversary of all that took place that year and the subsequent bills that came in the years after that. But God has been good to us, but we are not being good to each other or to him because we're not taking care of each other as we should, as we used to. And there's something wrong with that. There are people that have – go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. It's like today when I was watching the C-SPAN in Birmingham at 16th Street Church, and the mayor of Birmingham was speaking about the legends that was sitting before him, and I couldn't help but write on my page, yes, there were legends sitting in front of him, but there was also liars sitting there too. And so once I posted that on my page, people questioned me, well, what do you mean by the liars? There were liars just like today sitting in that church sat there 50 years ago. They're standing today. But the bottom line is they are the ones who have to answer to God. They know what role they play. You know, it's just like we went to Washington for the March on Washington. It's the big hallelujah. We're so excited, celebration. But so many ministers did not like or respect Dr. King. But coming out the woodwork.
Well, Reverend L. Venture Booth, he was a minister here in Cincinnati. He organized a progressive national convention so that Dr. King would have a platform. Everybody did not agree with what Daddy was doing in Birmingham or what Reverend King was doing in Montgomery. And there were a number of ministers in Birmingham that precipitated the letter from the Birmingham jail from Dr. King saying why we should not do these things. Well, you know, people get tired of knowing of being a second-class citizen, having been born in a country, and you see people come from other countries, and they have all the advantages in housing, in business, in everything. And aren't I an American, too? You know, it has never, ever been fair. The black man, I feel, has not been given the chance to be all that he can be. And it's sad. I think that we are among the best thinkers. America is blessed to have the many different cultures because there's something good from each culture that can be put into the environment that helps everybody. But we're just backwards on that. And our young leaders, I'm looking for someone to get the children's attention. They don't listen. They talk back. They are disrespectful. And that's not the way I was raised. My daddy could look at me and I was through it, whatever I was going to do at moment. You know?
Oh, yeah.
We've lost something. And I don't know how we're going to get it back. I know we need to go back to church. I know we need to thank God for having brought us to where we are. But we also need to get in the faces of our children, let them know that we love them and explain to them. But a lot of parents are afraid of their children, and that's so sad. And one
and
last thing that we go ahead, dear.
I was just going to say, when you mentioned we've got to get back to church and we got to show more love. Mrs. Abernathy had stated when we were in New York this past April that there are a lot of black churches in the black community, but there's no presence of them being in the community. And what she was saying is that the black churches exist in the community on Sunday.
And their Wednesday night. And,
Monday, Saturday. So they've got to open the doors.
Exactly. When I was department head at Princeton, one of the things that I suggested to our superintendent at that time was to put computers in the black community churches, specific churches, because traditionally black children did not have computers. And if the school could supply computers to the churches, and I don't know whatever came of that, but there's a way to, you can't totally equalize it, but you could try to put in things that will make it fair. And I also want to say, talking about older people, I say all the time, if you have a skill, you need to go to school and volunteer to do something on a regular basis. Even if you listen to a child read three times a week, you help them write letters, you become the teacher's secretary to help her do the menial things so she can do the job of teaching. We get really, the retired teachers, I think, and retired whomever, whether you're an engineer, doctor, we need to go back into the schools. Kids don't think that we care, and we need to be have the presence there and make them feel their worth. Kids will do what you expect and inspect if you really let them know that they love you. And we're in a crisis. There are so many young people that just don't know which way to go. So they don't go anywhere. They get on the streets. They hang here. And they're looking for love. But we need to give more positive love. And that sounds like a broad statement, but a smile. What can you do more in your church? What can you do in your neighborhood? What can you do with your neighborhood school? We need to be active retirees. We need to be those of us that are working. We need to take a day to be a big brother or to do something. In other words, we cannot wait for people to organize. We see our needs. We need more Girl Scouts. More things for the children to do. And I think they're getting ready to do a bill in some city about providing all-day kindergarten and after-school activities. It is so needed. That's where our money should be going, to secure the children after school, yet providing them a learning environment, and to make sure that they get a great start by all-day kindergarten. Our educators and our teachers have a lot to do, but they need the community. Not to criticize, but come up and say, I used to do this. What can I help you do? You know, I can be here 3 days a week. You know, we just need to do more. We have sat on our seats of do nothing. And when there's rally times, I'm going to the march. And I'm going to hey, you can march every day. You can be a leader. You can be a foot soldier every day. Because you know what your needs are in your community. And we just need to be more mindful of how we can affect change, because we're slipping backwards. We have become very nonchalant and non-caring. And our children need us.
I want the people to know that September 27th, 2013, the annual National History Makers Day, will be speaking. I know I'm speaking at a school at Joplin Elementary School here in Chicago on September 27th, and I always include it in my dialogue. And I don't know if the History Makers have contacted you to speak on behalf of Reverend Fred, but if not, I will text that information to you so make sure you can give them a call, because that's the National History Makers Day. And now with the new website, those that are listening to Ruth Shuttlesworth, Pastor, Reverend Fred's, one of Reverend Fred's daughters, you can go on the historynet.org and see his interview that he had, because now you can click on the site and hear his interview. And also there are several interviews of Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah,
that post and post on Facebook. So it's just so much history out here. And as you said, the whole year is dedicated to the 50 years of the civil rights. And it's just, I mean, it's just something we just have to continue to educate and elevate our society.
But well, they need to know their history.
They need to know their history.
They need to start with the oldest people in their family. Reverend Wood out of South Carolina, he's one of the Council of Elders. He's a delightful gentleman. He was over a program at Union College here, getting a PhD in studies of Dr. King. And he said he was told to go and talk to the oldest member in his family one summer. And he filled his notebook, and he has since learned it. And that's what young people need to do. They need to talk to their parents,
well,
their grandparents. Yes.
We are coming to the end of our program.
You are kidding.
Yeah. But I want to thank you so much for your vision and your commitment and dedication. And, I mean, you're a true historian, of course.
Well, I'm putting it together. 89 minutes is going to tell since Daddy was born in 22. Not only what he did, but the good things that were done and the unsung heroes all over the nation, because we need to know the true history of what happened. And those of us that are alive and can tell it should commit ourselves to telling it to our children. We need to know family. I thank you so much. I am so sorry. I had my pen ready for questions, but we just get along.
I have a board full of listeners because this is such a historical time. And but I want to thank you again, and my show is always open anytime you want to come on. We will talk again. My listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in the Know with Mo and being so receptive to my guest, which is my cousin, Ruby Shuttlesworth Fester. And until next week, until we tune in again, stay focused and be blessed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There's a little song within our breast, with words of hope and love. The melody blends as we join hands with faith and God above. Dr. Martin Luther King now tells us of this song.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory's won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory's won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay,